I suspect that there are some people who think of Christmas as a children's holiday, because so much of what we do on Christmas is related to children. Toy stores, for example, advertise more than usual. You can find whole catalogs devoted to Christmas gifts. And adults have a tendency to give more gifts to children than they do to other adults. And of course, we have the children's program every year here at church. And all of this is good, don't get me wrong. We should take delight in children. That is absolutely a good thing. But I wonder whether it leads us to think of Christmas as something only for children. That as soon as we've played our part in the Christmas pageant, whatever year that may have been, well, then we've learned all there is to learn about Christmas. And Christmas becomes something that we grow out of. It's something that we put away like all other childish things. But Christmas is not something that we grow out of. And I don't mean that we become children once again or that we become childish. Rather, Christmas is something which makes us grow up, something which makes us no longer children. So that even when the Christmas pageant is done and long gone, we continue to grow up in God. This is what Paul wants to show us in our epistle reading for today from Galatians chapter 4. Because in the book of Galatians, the people were struggling with false teachers. Teachers who had come among them and were trying to teach them to rely on their own works, as if doing certain things or keeping certain rules was the way of salvation. Do this and God will love you, they said. Don't do this and God will make you to be a real Christian, they said. Only those who listen to us, only those who do what we say, are truly sons of God. Anything else, and you're not a son at all. And in particular, these false teachers twisted the Old Testament, turning God's law into something it was never meant to be, turning the law of God into the way of salvation, turning it into the promised inheritance forever. Instead of rightly seeing it as something that pointed forward towards what was to come. So Paul then wants to show the Galatians the truth. And he does this by making a comparison. He says, starting in verse 1, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. Now, of course, Paul does not mean that children are slaves. That's not his point at all. He's only saying that they happen to have something in common. Both of them always have to follow after someone else's rules. They're always living by someone else's schedule. They're not free to do as they please. They are bound to live in a certain way. And of course, for children, that is a good thing. Children need boundaries. Children need structure. Otherwise, they will always be childish, even in adulthood, which is not good. And so these things which are given to them, which are imposed upon them, are meant for their good. But it does still mean that they are not yet fully free. They have not yet entered into what they are meant to be. Until the time when they finally grow up and enter into adulthood, the time appointed by their father. At that time, that which has always been theirs will be given to them. They will become what they were always intended to be. So Paul then draws a comparison between that and what's happening with the Galatians. He says in verse 3, in the same way we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. There was a time, he says, when you were spiritually children, a time when you were not able to enter into full spiritual adulthood. And in terms of the law, that meant you were living under someone else's roof, having to follow someone else's rules. Now, that doesn't mean that the law is evil. Of course not. It only means that they had not yet entered into their full inheritance. They were still waiting for the day when the purpose of the law would come to an end, the day when their heavenly Father would bring them into their true and full spiritual adulthood, to give them what had always been theirs. Instead of lingering forever in a kind of spiritual childhood, like a man who refuses to grow up. But of course, Christians, I do want to argue that Paul has much more in mind here. Because when he says elementary principles, he's not talking about the law of God, as if the law was somehow the thing that was the problem. Rather, the problem is the abuse of the law. The abuse of the law which had corrupted it, which had perverted it into something else, and the very thing that these false teachers were promoting, treating the law as if it was the way to be saved, as if being stuck in a kind of perpetual spiritual childhood, a perpetual childishness, was the way to be a son of God. No, the problem was not the law, but the sin which abused the law. And it is this sin that also makes us, that we were once spiritual children, caught in an immaturity from which we could not escape. And I want to emphasize this, Christians, because Paul is not just talking to the Galatians here. We, for example, did not grow up under the Old Testament law the way that they did. We are not tempted in the same way that they are to return to it. But the problem at the root of all of this is the same problem that we have. We too were once enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Sin corrupted our thinking. Sin led us astray. Sin led us to abuse the very things that God had given to us, perverting them into something that they were never meant to be. In that way, Christians, we were all once less than children. We were enslaved to sin, in bondage to its perverse ways of thinking, chained to its corruption, unable to set ourselves free, and unable to enter into what God had always intended us to be. But this is why Christmas is so wonderful. Because Christmas is the end of our slavery. It is the beginning of what we are meant to be. Christmas is the time when we grow up into God. As Paul says, beginning in verse 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." This fullness of time is just like when a child enters into adulthood, when they are no longer under someone else's roof and following someone else's direction. And for us Christians, that means that we are no longer enslaved to sin. Our old way of life is now gone forever, because God has given his Son to us. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He was laid in the manger at Bethlehem. He has become like us in every way except sin. And because of that, he took on our flesh and blood in order to redeem us. He paid the debt that we could not pay. And therefore, through him, we have become more than just simply free. we have become the true sons of God. We have been made part of God's family through the birth of Jesus Christ, so that we are no longer bound to what we once were. And through him, we have become heirs of eternity. Our spiritual childhood, our spiritual childishness is gone. And we have entered adulthood through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Christians, if we want the proof that we are no longer spiritually children, God himself gives it to us. He says in verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" We have the Holy Spirit living within us, and he is changing us. He's making us different from what we once were, so that we can actually see him at work within our lives. We can see how we are different from what we were. We can see how we have left behind what we once were and how we are looking forward to something far greater. We can see how we are letting go of the childhood of sin and growing up into true life in God. And Christians, the same Holy Spirit leads us to cry out to God, calling on him as our true Heavenly Father, because we are no longer separated from him because of sin. But we have been set free to come to him and to call on him without fear. The Holy Spirit is proof that we are indeed the sons of God. And as Paul says in verse 7, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." We are heaven's heirs because of what the Father has done for us in Jesus Christ, his Son. So Christmas, then, is for more than just children. Christmas is for all who trust in God, because through the birth of Jesus Christ, we have become the sons of God and the heirs of eternal life. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has given your Son, Jesus Christ, to free us from our sins, help us always to follow after him in everything, so that we may glorify you in all that we say and do. In his name we pray. Amen.